Standing Alive with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
What's up, Rita?
Kia ora, how are you guys?
Yo, good. We're pretty good. We are pretty good. There, full disclosure, there is a currently a deconstruction team, a demolition team, tearing apart the concrete behind us, and the whole studio is shaking like I'm talking like
visibly
four
shaking.
Or 5 centimeters either way, sort of the screens and stuff from time to time. But we are happy to talk to you as per Rita. What's on the sustaining alive?
The building's just falling down around you and you just keep going. What professionals?
That's sort of how people are treating the planet a little bit.
2020.
Is the environment back on trend or what?
Yeah, totally. And you know what? And that theme is actually today's topic a little bit, because the world is seems totally crazy and it doesn't seem to be getting any better fast. So instead of dealing with the serious issues, which we normally do every week, we're going to talk about something slightly lighter-hearted for a little while before getting slightly more serious, which is the Forest and Bird of the Year that was announced last week.
Mm. Is the Pukeko in Bird of the Year?
The Pukeko is in Bird of the Year.
Is the Takahe?
Sure. Yes, the Takahe.
So you can actually see them side by side and see which one wins normally. Well, which one? That's the real race, Sam. We might Google that up right now, actually.
Oh, definitely the Takahe would take out more votes.
It does.
Say. There's a lot of hate for the old Pukeko.
I know, but I've kind of vibed with the Pukeko more, I think. I'm not sure.
Well, I come from an area, well, down near me, and there's a lot of love for the ducks in the area, in this area. And so the local social pages are filled with
ducks, you say?
The ducks. And the Pukekos actually kill the ducklings.
Oh,
okay.
There's quite a bit of beef.
That's actually a vicious rumour, so no proof has really come to
is
that.
It?
Yeah, I don't. That's
but, well,
just,
see, these people are saying the Pukekos took out the ducks.
No,
so
see, that's part of the smear campaign that comes along with this terrible competition, Bird of the Year. How many Bird of the Years come in Bird of the Year? And how many losers do they have to be in this Bird
of
the Year?
Oh, my God. Dodginess of some of the votes.
Can
and
I
the,
say,
and
can
the
I say
scandals
one thing?
Of the campaign.
I've never seen a kiwi in real life in the wild, so I'm pretty sure having like 5 different kiwis on Bird of the Year is not, you know what I mean?
It's not fair. They should pull their votes right at the end.
Something.
Like,
well, show your face. Just kind of like show your face. Do a cool little trick or something. Oh, the barn owl. Did the barn owl doing okay, it says. Okay, so it actually comes along with whether or not the bird is, like, almost going to see it.
Yeah.
Now,
so
Rita,
voting is closed and they have announced the winner. Mm. So will have to wait till next year, 2021. And they do look for campaign managers if anyone's as passionate about birds.
I'll have the Pukeko. I don't care.
You should be the campaign manager for the Pukeko.
So did the Kakapo win or the what won?
So the Kakapo won.
Oh, it's in serious trouble.
Second time. Otherwise known as Moth Bird.
When did it win last time?
Do you know what? I was actually trying to find that and I couldn't.
Because how come if it's won already and it's still in serious trouble? Is this competition really helping the bird at all?
No, it's just raising some awareness.
Is it though? Well, you know, what is awareness?
And some money, because people do also then sign up to support Forest and Bird, who do a lot of advocacy for our forests, and that is, one of the bigger challenges with these species is habitat destruction.
Okay.
But I just want to talk about the Kakapo for a second. We can talk about some of the issues for these.
Oh, man, there's
for
a picture of a Kakapo
birds.
Here, and it's, like, in serious trouble, and the eye is, like, a galaxy of just like a little bit sad, like it isn't serious.
Yeah, they're really sad. They're really confused looking birds, but they're so beautiful.
How many are there?
To be fair, this photo was taken before.
There are 213 of them.
How many?
And you have to remember that 30 years ago, in 1990, there were only 50. So they're doing, 213 is not a lot, but they're doing much better than they were. And they're really trusting, like a lot of our birds, really trusting. So in New Zealand, because we had such geographical isolation and we had no land mammals,
yes,
other than a bat, which isn't really, as far as I'm concerned, really a land mammal, although bat lovers will disagree with me, but in terms of actually like predation, we didn't have anything. So a lot of our, that's why a lot of our birds are pretty defenseless, because they grew up in you know, kind of a Garden of Eden, really. They didn't need any, right, defences. So or many defences. So the kakapo, you know, whilst it can climb on a tree relatively well for a flightless bird, it's pretty defenceless. But they do also. So kakapo is actually my favourite bird, which is why I really wanted to talk about this topic, because
okay, apparently it's exquisitely perfumed.
Really?
Yeah, its feathers have been dipped in a musky array of essential oils that could come straight from a Middle Eastern perfumer.
What? So I've never read that before, but I'm very, very intrigued to see one in real life, because they...
have you seen the video of Stephen Fry with and one's kind of rooting his mate's head?
Yes.
Have you seen that, John?
Parrots,
John
right
doesn't
there.
Believe me, but that's a good video. You should watch it. It's great.
If you haven't seen it, it's definitely one worth watching. And I just wanted to talk about them because they're lek breeders. I think that's how you say it. And so they've got this really cool way that they breed. So what they do is they don't breed very often. They only breed when there's abundance of fruit, which is probably every, you know, 2 to 4 years kind of thing. And the males set up this huge, I don't know, to me it sounds like a dance party. So they carve out this bowl, and then I guess it's like a dust bowl or whatever, and then they have these like tracks to it, I guess, because they're hoping lots of females come. Mm-hmm. And then they so they prepare this for ages, and then they decide, yep, now tonight's the night, and then they start and they go down
to
the
become
bowl.
One kind of thing,
yeah, and they start booming. It's like it's a beautiful sound, this huge boom. And they just do that months and months and months on end until the female goes, yeah, you're the man for me, and goes down to his bowl. And I don't know if in the bowl is where they do their thing or not, but it's quite, it feels like it's a lot of effort. And apparently, quite often, it's like the one male will attract quite a few females. Like his boom is better than all the other.
Does
booms.
He boom all of the females, or does he select a certain female and boom?
I think he's non-selective. Like he's like just all of the females.
How come? Does this all have to sort of lead into the fact that there aren't that many, because they're kind of like in the panda territory when it comes to trying to get them?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, there's a series of things that, you know, together make something at risk of extinction. And, you know, one of the things is if they're very pedantic about their breeding.
Yeah.
And like you say, a panda, and there's, you know, there's some animals that just want breeding captivity. I don't know for a fact, but I'm 99% sure that a kakapo would not breed in captivity. I know that they go and collect the eggs and keep them safe.
Right.
It is the panda of bird species in that respect.
Okay. It says here that it came in second last year, and Bonnie Hartfield, bless her soul, got it to number one this year.
Yeah, nice work. Nice work. And it was a last minute, because it's actually quite a complicated system. It's almost up there with the Electoral College.
Well, I was going to actually bring it into that, because wasn't there a bit of controversy with the votes? It's kind of like a little bit of the US election type stuff. What happened there?
Last year was particularly bad, because there was some dodgy votes that came, I think they came out of Russia or Germany or somewhere.
Oh,
so they were like, there's bots, I don't know. I don't know, I don't want to get involved in the controversy. There was some questionable campaigning from the Kiwi sector, or so I'm told. But there's usually something every year, and they've tightened up sort of how you can vote for that. The way you vote is you vote on your top five and you rank them. So actually, the albatross was winning this year,
because
actually the top number one vote.
That is a great bird. That is a great bird. I could tell you some facts.
What they are, aren't they?
I could tell you some facts about the albatross. Tell you what.
Yeah, I do love a good albatross. But
is the peacock in here anywhere? Because that is a great bird.
No, I don't think it is.
It's not native.
What do you mean? I've seen one at Shakespeare Park. That's where I used to live around there.
That's interesting. So there is three types of birds in New Zealand: endemic species, which is indigenous, and they're not found anywhere else. So a kakapo, a Kia, Kaka, Kiwi, they all fall into that.
Quick question.
And then you have native species, which are species that exist elsewhere and made their own way here.
Just
so
a
Kukiko,
quick question.
I'm just trying to think what another
I've
example is.
I've just got a
is.
Quick question.
Yeah.
If I eliminate all the other Pukiko, all the other...
if you eliminate all the other birds and there's only peacocks left,
yeah.
Yes, it would
no,
probably
not
win
that.
Bird of the
if
year.
I eliminate all the other peacocks everywhere else around the world, do they then become native to New Zealand?
No, they're the third, which is introduced species. So someone's actually brought them here, and that would never change. If you eliminated all of them, they'd still be introduced species. Mm. They'd just be only, they'd be extinct locally, like where they are from.
Yeah.
Yeah. So local extinction or functional extinction, because at that point the breeding size isn't really big enough for it to be a functioning species.
If I trick one to fly here from another place, then what?
It's still an introduced species.
Okay.
But the you talk about the peacock. Yes, yes,
just trying to find things to do with my summer, Rita, and you're kind of killing it a little bit.
Oh, dear. And we do have some pretty sad statistics in New Zealand around our birds.
Oh,
so,
shit.
There's
a lot in serious trouble on here, I've got to say. So give us the stats. Go on.
Yeah, so 74% or 3/4 of our terrestrial birds are threatened with or at risk of extinction. Right. And 90% of our sea birds are threatened with or at risk of extinction. So those are some pretty gnarly stats. And something you can't really get your way out of quickly because of things like breeding cycles and that kind of thing. So being hollered at from the hallway. So we've got a lot of work to do, and not only have we got major pest problems and predator problems in New Zealand, we also have major habitat loss with really 3/4 of our forest is gone, and what is left is really in the alpine areas or all the kind of protected areas which are up high. And a lot of our species don't live up there, so there's lots of work to be done, and I think things like the Bird of the Year really help raise awareness of some of the things around some of the things that we can do and some of the species that might not be very well known.
I was just saying, the Royal Spoonbill, that is a buzzy-looking bird. And actually, if you go to the site, a really compelling feature is when you hover the mouse over the particular bird, this is especially true to the kakapo, it zooms in by about a centimetre, and it's like, oh, shit, it's in trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It pops forward like, look at me in the eye. Fuck, that's hard out.
Do you guys have favorite birds? I mean, outside of your
albatross, man. The albatross is so fucking rad. It just like stays up in the sky for ages. Doesn't even just mucks around up there. And then it has trouble. It like breaks its leg sometimes landing because it hasn't landed in like forever.
Didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
they're crazy.
Cool.
They're crazy, dude.
Rita,
that's very cool.
What can we do in a nutshell to assist? Do our best to help these birds which are in trouble.
Yeah, look, I think in a nutshell...
Who would win in a fight between a Kia and a Kakapo?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Kia, did you say?
Yeah.
Is that just because of numbers or because they're stronger?
Because they're pretty
one
hard
on
out.
Okay. Yeah.
They're pretty hard out.
Okay. Kia can fly as well.
Okay. Tui aren't in trouble.
Exactly.
It says Tui are in some trouble, but I see Tui's everywhere, all the time.
I think we're pretty lucky in Auckland.
Okay.
I think we're quite lucky in Auckland.
We had a text in, by the way, saying somebody saw a pukeko attack a flying sparrow at Western Springs. So they're obviously fighting each other as well.
A flying sparrow, as opposed to the non-flying, right?
A lot of sparrows are kind of walking-type sparrows.
Yeah, that's true. Go the pukeko in that case. I'm not a fan of the old sparrow.
I like the colour.
Live and let live, though,
The kereru is a beautiful colour to it, I've got to say. I mean, there's a lot that I don't really, I'm not familiar with, so, Like, I'm surprised we have a kingfisher that's native. That's kind of
bad. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they're related to the kookaburra, so you can kind of see that in them, actually.
It is kind of sitting on a kind of a gum tree here in this picture.
Yeah, they're very cool. So I guess what we can do, knowing and loving these birds is actually probably the best thing we can do. So then when, you know, they are raising money or we are looking at, you know, putting a pipeline through, you know, a national park, that there's, you know, a team of 5 million advocates for our birds, because we have been given the status of the land of birds because of our unique situation. We've got one of the highest endemic bird species in the world. Like, we're so lucky to have these really super unique birds, and we really do need to protect them. So, you know, being advocates for our birds is number one. And this summer, if you wanted to do something actually, you know, somewhat hands-on, the fairy tern is one of the most endangered bird species in the country. They live in sand dunes, or breed, sorry, in sand dunes from Whangarei to Auckland, and they are quite often killed by dogs. So the easiest thing you can do is, if you're walking your dog on the beach, keep it on a leash.
Oh, yeah, and in the bush, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. People give cats a hard time, but actually dogs, especially in Northland, you know, the stories of, you know, farm dogs that have eaten kiwi aren't great either. So, you know, even though we think that they're, you know, these somewhat innocent creatures when it comes to birds, they're not necessarily. So we do need to just watch our dogs. Keep your cats inside at night if you can.
Some of these birds are so tweaked looking at you when you look at a bird. Sometimes you're like, what are you thinking about, man? But
yeah.
I, can I leave you with like a buzzy fact? Have you heard of a thing called the sonic bloom?
No.
It's a theory of like a lot of birds will scream at flower buds to try and open them with like the frequency of their voice. And so when you hear birds chirping, a lot of the time they're actually just chirping at the flowers trying to get them open. It happens obviously certain times of year. I watched an interesting documentary on it. Yeah, Sonic Bloom. Quite interesting.
Sonic Bloom. I'm going to write that one down. And I'm going to throw
great
one
name
at you
for
guys.
A, so, like, great name for a record, bad name for a band kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Fair enough. And also a little documentary to watch. It's only 4 minutes on the DOC website, but there's one about the Chatham Islands black robin that was saved by Tom Pelter, I think his name is. And there was one breeding pair left, and he moved heaven and earth to save them. And it's a really cool story that says a lot of understanding of how our black robin breed. And it was pure sheer passion that saved them. So that's a really good one, the Chatham Island black robin.
There's also that great movie where that guy flies a hang glider and the swans fly behind him. John and I found our favourite bird. It's right at the bottom of the bird of the year thing. It's called the Weewea, and it's New Zealand dab chick, and it looks fully tweaked, man. It's like,
oh really?
Yeah, what is in the water supply down there? Doesn't look
check
classic.
That one out.
So yeah,
fantastic. So yeah, a nice light-hearted one this week. You know, we can't take back the sins of the past, but we can try and rectify it through a better understanding, advocacy for, you know, having some get behind the pest-free movement isn't the one. You know, if you can support it in any way, putting out traps or anything, go and do that too.
Awesome.
Ka pai.
Hey Rita, thank you very much. We'll chat to you in a week's time.
Yeah, sounds good. See you later.
Bye. That was Sustaining Alive on 95 BFM.